58. Wayne watched as Wax held the bottles over his head, then pushed the caps off with a quick flip of allomancy. Handy, that. When God had been designing allomancy, had he considered that coin shots would make good bottle openers? Wax held one out to Wayne, who wiped his runny nose on his handkerchief, then took the bottle. He sighed, his head pounding, his body aching. Damn, he hated storing health. Made you feel like the stuff a fellow found between his toes after wearing his shoes too long. He lounged back against the support running alongside the front of the billboard. They'd flown up here, naturally, because coin shots liked being in the sky. Plus, Wax liked being blatant. And what was more blatant than having a beer in front of the city's stupid propaganda poster? The thing had a ledge in the front, so sitting was comfortable enough. This was presumably for the workers to erect the image, a nauseating picture of a fellow looking toward the sky with lines of light spreading out behind him. Independence through shared struggle, it said. Wayne could have eaten the beer bottle wrapper and dumped a load the next day that made more sense than that. The offending billboard was up high, pointed inward across the main highway. Toward the city's central spire, Independence Tower, nicknamed the Shaw, after old Credit Shaw. Wax held his bottle out, and Wayne reached forward to clink the necks together. Then Wayne tipped his head back and drank, welcoming the strong taste. Hoppy. Bitter. Like a good beer should be. Out in the roughs, they knew that. Why clean it all up, make it taste like something other than what it was? City beers, they were for people that didn't actually like beer. The suds felt good on his throat, which turned all scratchy when he stored health. Like he was perpetually sick all the time, every day, but normally didn't notice it because his body was good at covering it up. Only the moment he started storing health, the sickness got the upper hand. Wax took a long pull on his own beer and relaxed into the taste, his eyes distant. Content. Remember that time, Wayne said, when you went to take the tops off of the bottles, but I'd smack the beers on the table first so they squirted out all over your head? Which time? Wax said. Heh, Wayne said. That joke never gets old. Because it was ancient the first time you tried it. Wayne grinned. I was thinking of the first time, after you caught Icy Ben Oldson, you know, when Blinker was your deputy. I remember. Can't believe you worked with that guy, Wayne said, taking another drink. He couldn't shoot worth a bean. He had other skills, Wax said. You can't shoot worth a bean either, it should be noted. That was true. But honestly, Wax had terrible taste in deputies. I do remember that first time you got me by shaking the bottles, Wax said, sipping his beer. I remember it well. It was the first time you really seemed to smile. Yeah, well, Wayne said. I'm good at pretending to be things I ain't, you know? I eventually put together how to feign being a person who was worth something. It's a good lie. Still managed to believe it. He took a drink. Most of the time. Wayne. I don't need a speech, Wax. Wayne rested his head back against the metal support, closing his eyes. I'll be fine. Just gotta put on the hat. You've been feeling worse lately, haven't you? Wax asked. Annoying, perceptive fellow. This isn't only about Milan. Wayne shrugged, his eyes still closed. Out with it, Wax said. I gave you a beer, you owe me an answer. Those are the rules. Ruin that man? He knew the rules. I've just been thinking, Wayne said softly. Remembering my family, and how ashamed my ma would be of me for turning out to be a murderer. I've been working all these years to pay it off, but I don't feel no better. So I guess I'm beginning to wonder. Maybe I can't ever do enough good to balance the bad I done. Maybe I'll always be worthless. You can't pay it off, Wayne, Wax whispered. That much is true. Wayne opened his eyes. Durkle, that man you killed, Wax said. He's always going to be dead. Nothing you can do will change that.
No number of good deeds will bring him back or earn you forgiveness. Wayne looked away, feeling sick, and not just because he was storing up health.
I know I said I didn't need a speech, Wax, but I don't know that you need to rub it in, neither.
Fortunately, Wax said, you don't need forgiveness, Wayne.
Now that's nonsense.
No, it's not. Wax leaned forward, pointing with his bottle. Wayne, would you do it again, if you had the chance? Rob a man for his pocket change? Shoot him when things get heated?
What? Of course not.
So, Wax said, leaning back, you don't need forgiveness, because you aren't the man who killed Durkle. Not anymore. The man who did that, well, he's dead. Buried beneath 6 feet of the clay and rock that passes for soil in the roughs. You haven't been him for years.
I don't think it works that way, Wayne said.
Why not? Wax replied, taking another pull on his beer. What's any of this for if people can't change? If there's no chance for you, Wayne, there's no chance for anyone. We might as well shoot a man the first time he does anything wrong, because, hey, he'll never change, so who cares?
That's not fair.
You're not fair, Wax said. To yourself. I've watched you, Wayne. You didn't become my deputy because you wanted redemption. You don't keep fighting alongside me because you need to be forgiven. You do it because of the man you've become. You do it because you want to make the world better.
Maybe you're wrong, Wayne said. You don't know what's in my brain, Wax. Maybe I am corrupt through and through. You know how I am when I get in a brawl. Maybe I'm doing all this to get a chance to fight and kill folks, because I like it.
Nope, Wax said. He finished off his beer, then held the bottle out, dangling between two fingers. I don't buy it, Wayne. I know you, and I respect you, admire you. There are times I wish I could be as good a man as you are. Wayne sat up, squinting at him.
Wait, you're serious?
Damn right.
Mate, I burned down a building today, and not one what you're supposed to burn down like a school, a big important building.
Yeah, and what did you do with that fire? Wax asked. Did you light it and run? Wayne shrugged. No, you got everyone out, Wax said. You specifically led a group of people knocking on doors to make sure everyone escaped. You lit the fire because you needed to, but then you made sure that... He hesitated, double-checked his bottle was empty, then looked at Wayne with a frown. Wayne, schools aren't meant to be burned down. Just because we did it once doesn't mean it's all right.
No, see, Wayne said, finishing off his own beer. I figured it out. Schools is meant to be burned down. Imagine you was a kid, and you woke up and found the school was plumb gone. Well, damn, that'd be the best rustin' day ever.
Wax sighed.
I figure, Wayne continued, that's why the city keeps building more schools. Have you seen how many there are these days? The government is saving them up in case they need to make some kids happy. Then they'll burn them down.
Wax eyed him. So Wayne smiled and winked, letting him know that this might have been an exaggerated story-type thing. Wax leaned back.
I can't tell with you sometimes.
That's the problem, though, ain't it? Wayne said. Because I do terrible stuff. Renette told me that Durkle girl, apparently visiting her is the worst thing I could have been doing. I've been making her life awful all these years, even without knowing it.
And you care? Wax asked.
Course I do.
Wax inclined his head toward him.
Proof. You're a good person.
Fat lot of good it does when I still mess everything up, mate. I still grab stuff sometimes, even when it's not my friends and I ain't joking. I don't think about it until later, and I'll realize maybe that fellow liked his cigar box.
You mess up a lot less than you fix, Wayne. You can't deny it. You are a good man. Wayne fell quiet. Because he liked Wax More, he trusted Wax. Wax was right about things. Could he be right about this? Wax leaned forward.
You can't keep digging up the corpse of who you used to be, Wayne. You can't keep toting it around. Let him stay buried. Consider who you are, not who you left behind. That's what I've learned these last few years. It's made all the difference.
Huh. It was platitudes. Easy words to say. But Wax didn't just say things. He never had. Wax meant things. Maybe it was time to bury that corpse. Because Rusts, it was feeling heavy lately. What would life be like if he weren't carrying that thing? Maybe a part of him was ready and had been for years. He'd stopped shaking when he held a gun. His body was ready to move on. Could his mind allow it? He scanned out over the city, his head pounding from storing health. Cars bustled below, representatives of a new world with fancy new buildings throwing long shadows as the sun started to set. The whole basin was changing. Why not him with it? He let himself stop storing up health. Truth was, it wouldn't do much. His head cleared, and his aches faded.
Right, then, he said, sitting up. We need to solve this thing, Wax. I got this bad feeling, had it all day, that we're on a trail that is far, far too cold for comfort.
Agreed, Wax said, pulling over two duffels. Look through that. See what Stair has packed us. He pushed over the first of them, his ammo pack, retrieved from a rooftop. Wayne took it and undid the ties and zipper, while Wax dug in the other and took out some pages holding them up. The billboard had some electric lights on it to make the thing visible at night, which was good for reading. Huh, maybe Wax had a good reason for picking this spot after all. Wayne began counting ammo for Wax's guns, setting it aside in little pouches.
So, he said, they was testing some flying bomb out in the ocean?
They were only testing the delivery device, Wax said, shuffling papers. No bomb on it yet. That would be too dangerous. Plus, it wasn't ready yet. I've got schematics for the bomb here, and until recently, they were having trouble creating a big enough battery to make it portable.
But they figured that out.
Unfortunately, he said, handing a schematic over, as if Wayne would have any use for it. Look there. Finally have it working, portable but large. That's what's giving them such a headache. They have these rockets that can fly a good 30 or 40 miles, but not with such a huge payload. He shuffled more pages, then handed another over. This schematic is a dead man's switch, an extremely pernicious one. They don't want anyone disarming the thing. And here, a design for a much larger rocket. Maybe a last chance at making this work, but they're worried it won't fly far enough, and might catch Bilming or other towns, and not just Ellendale. Wayne grunted, tucking the pages in his pocket. Then, digging further into his own duffel, he found a sandwich.
Hot damn,
he said, unwrapping it.
Pastrami? Hot double damn. Good thing you ignored me and stayed with that woman. She's quite a catch.
Wax gave him a flat look.
I was wrong about her, all right,
Wayne said, digging out a second sandwich and tossing it to Wax.
I'm wrong about people a lot. Maybe even myself.
Wax smiled, then dug into the sandwich. Wayne did the same, and he hadn't even realized how hungry he was. Some canteens followed, alas, just water. He wished for another beer. But no, they had work to do. One would keep them limber. Any more would be dangerous. Wayne dug out a replacement metal mind for Wax, filled with extra weight, and tossed it to him. Next were some vials filled with metal flakes, all in a little sheath. 8 of them had been removed already. 8 remained.
These ain't your normal sort.
Harmony sent them, Wax said. Said they were special.
Did he now?
Wayne said, eyeing the last one in line with a red cork. He set those aside, then took out a small pouch of metals with his name on it. Rusting woman had even sent him some bend alloy. So, where do we go, Wax? You said they were building one final rocket, biggest of them all. Where do we find it?
Wax scanned the notes. They're worried, Wayne. Up against the wall. There's notations at the end here from today. They are terrified that autonomy will cancel their whole project violently. So they're scrambling to fend us off and for any last chance at victory. But where? How? Wayne continued fishing in his duffel, then pulled out a strange wicker ball with a weight at the center.
Is this something Renette made?
Wax grinned, waving for Wayne to toss it over. Then Wax launched it into the air with a steel push.
Max must have helped steer us back, sent me a little gift. He launched it higher next time, then higher. Then he caught it and froze.
What?
Wayne said.
I know where the bomb is, Wax said. You need height. Height first, then you can launch something far. Plus, they needed to build a big rocket someplace where people wouldn't be able to poke around. Get as much height as they can in a secure location.
Wayne breathed out, and the two of them turned toward the center of the city. And the Shaw, the enormous tower there, which had new construction on top, supposedly adding a few new floors. Or was it a different construction project entirely?
Damn,
Wayne said, noting the number of lights on in the upper floors of the tower and the floodlights on the top.
They're busy tonight. Backs up against the wall indeed.
He looked to Wax.
It's a mesa, that spire. That's the mesa.
What mesa?
In my ma's story, Wayne said. It all ended at the mesa, the lone peak in the center of a flat landscape.
Wayne eyed his friend to see if he complained they weren't in that story, because in this, Wax would be wrong. They were in it, or at least living alongside it, because Wayne had decided it was so and that was the way of things.
A mesa, eh?
Wax said, letting one leg slip out over the edge to dangle.
Yeah, I can see that.
I could never figure out the part that happened next, Wayne said. In the story, the lawman went to the mesa to find the bad guy, Blatant Bomb, worst villain there ever was. But Bomb was the mesa.
He was the mesa?
Yeah, like he'd transformed into it, Wayne said.
That doesn't make much sense.
Sure doesn't, Wayne said. I never could figure out why Ma told it that way.
Maybe it doesn't mean anything, Wax said. Maybe she came up with it because something needs to happen in stories.
Nah, Wayne said. You didn't know my Ma, Wax. She was good at stories. Real good. It meant something.
Wayne took a deep breath.
If we've got to get to the top, that's gonna be a rough ascent. There aren't any other buildings around it nearly as tall. You won't be able to push us up there.
We'd be exposed to snipers trying that anyway, Wax said, squinting at the floodlights high atop the Shaw. We'll have to go up the inside. Ruin, Wayne. You're right. It's going to be rough.
Wayne's foot thumped against something from the ammo duffel. He frowned, then knelt and pulled out a wooden box that had been tucked at the bottom. It had Renette's symbol on the top. Wax breathed out softly, almost reverently.
Steris packed it.
What?
Wayne said, opening the top. He revealed a gun, stocky, with a barrel a good 4 inches across, unlike anything he'd ever seen.
Something special.
Wax took it out, then removed other pieces from the box to assemble something that looked a bit like a single-barrel shotgun, only with a much wider bore. It had a big central ammo wheel, almost like for an oversized revolver, which held slugs bigger than shot glasses. Wayne whistled.
We just call it the big gun, Wax said. I'd hoped I wouldn't need it. It wasn't built for a lawman. It was built for a sword.
In the distance, the sun finally sank beneath the ocean horizon,
like a great big piece of dough being dropped in to be fried up nice and toasty. Wayne held his breath. Then mists began to curl in the air, growing like vines from invisible holes pouring out into the city. "Well," Wax whispered, "that's a welcome sight." He glanced at the gun in his hands. "This next part is going to be bloody, Wayne. How much healing do you have left?"
"Not much," Wayne admitted. "I can handle a bullet or two. That's it."
Wax took a deep breath. "I'll want you to stay back, to let me do what Harmony has decided I need to do." He cocked the strange gun, chambering an enormous bullet. "We're going to get to the top of that building and stop the launch." He paused. "Funny, I don't know if I could have done this a few years ago. But I know where I am, what I'm fighting for, and why. There's a certain peace in that, no matter how bad this is likely to get."
"Rosts," Wayne said, his stomach in a knot. "We sure felt the same. Wax, after all this time, it's still hard for me to sort out. I kill a man and it ruins my life. Then I join you, and I've got to keep killing them. Poor sods, you know?"
Wax shouldered the strange gun, then put his hand on Wayne's arm.
"Yeah, I know. But maybe your ma was right about the bad guy being a mesa, being the land itself. Maybe that's what she was saying, Wayne. It's the world that we have to worry about. Individual men, yes, they can be evil. But we should worry more about the world itself making them so."
"What do you mean?"
"Well," Wax said, "do you think you'd have fallen in with the Plank Boys if your mother hadn't died in that accident?"
"Absolutely not,"
Wayne said. "Nearly every man I've had to shoot, he had a story like yours. It's the sort of thing Maracy is always talking about. You have to stop the blatant bombs of the world, yes. But if you can create a world where fewer boys grow up alone, well, maybe you'll have far fewer blatant bombs to face in the future. Maybe that was what your mother was saying."
"Huh. Yeah," Wayne said. "Yeah, that sounds right."
He stood at the edge of the billboard ledge, the two of them facing the spire. Wax slid the last of those metal vials Harmony had given him into the aluminum-lined sheath at his belt. Wayne downed some himself.
"Wayne," Wax said, "do you remember how this started? This new life after the Roughs? I'd given up after Lessie's death. You came to me in Ellendale, and you pulled me out, Wayne. I was content to sit around stewing in my own self-reflection. Then you showed up and grabbed me, told me there were train cars being robbed mysteriously, set me on the path chasing Trell."
"I suppose," Wayne said, "doesn't mean I'm the hero."
"Nonsense," Wax glanced at him. "This is who you are. No amount of complaining, no phantom guilt, no whispering, lying voice that says otherwise is going to change that. You're meant to be helping people, Wayne. It's what you do."
Wayne cocked his head.
"Was that a quote or something?"
"It's what you said to me 7 years ago, when people needed me, but I was too afraid to pick up a gun."
"You remember that?" Wayne said. "The exact things I said?"
"Of course I do. Those words changed my life."
Wayne let out a howl of laughter.
"Damn, Wax. I just say things. You're not supposed to actually pay attention to them."
"It was meaningful."
"Ha! Listening to me? Might as well write the stuff I say on a plaque or something. You're meant to be helping people. Also remember, ain't no fella who regretted giving it one extra shake, but you can bet every guy has regretted giving it one too few."
They shared a look as the mists began to curl around them, headlights illuminating the roadway beneath like a river of light running toward the Shaw. Then they both nodded.
"You ready for this?"
Wax asked.
"Let's do it," Wayne replied.